Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert. So happy to be with you once again on this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. Pray this broadcast will be a special blessing to you today, no matter where you are hearing this broadcast. We believe that that the Holy Spirit has directed this broadcast to be on this station, to go wherever this station reaches, not only in Madison and North Florida area, but also streaming by computer to the nations of the world. We understand that WMAF has a listening base down under, down in Australia. So we'll say once again, g'day. We're glad to be with you today. We've had some hits on our website from Australia. And if you are listening in Australia, we greet you today. We're so glad to have you listen to this broadcast. And we're so glad to have you come and visit us on our website. We're just thrilled to know that other nations of our world are hearing this broadcast and hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And pray for us that God will expand this ministry by expanding the outreach of this station, WMAF. It's a wonderfully formatted station. It's not just one of those cookie-cutter stations that stamps out. If you hear one, you heard them all. This is different. This is classic stuff. And I guess I'm a classic preacher as well, because I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as it was written in the scripture. We don't need to edit that. We don't need to change that. This is how God has given us the means of reaching men and women with the good news of what Jesus has done on the cross and how life-changing that can be. It's such a privilege to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ today. If you would like to visit us on our website, just type into your search engine THCOG. That stands for The Holy Church of God. Google is one search engine that I use, one of the larger search engines. I know that it will take you to our website. Just scroll down. You won't have to go down one page before you find The Holy Church of God, and just click on it and come to our website and visit with us if you have a computer. If you're listening from another state here in the United States, we're very grateful that you have tuned in once again to hear another edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. If any of our minister brethren listen to this broadcast, I know I listen to gospel broadcasts to see what the Lord is saying through other ministries and ministers, and my soul is blessed by ministries. And if this broadcast bless you, we are so glad and honored that you would tune in and listen to this broadcast today. We are linked with every God-called, God-anointed ministry that is reaching out in our generation. We are linked in arms to see this great harvest brought in this last day. We're talking about the powerful gospel of Jesus Christ, and this is indeed a gospel that has the power to bring people out of prison houses, the power, literally spiritual prison houses, and the power to set men and women free. Amen. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." Hallelujah. Amen. This is powerful stuff that we are dealing with when we deal with the simply preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it has the power to transform lives. And it begins with opening blind eyes, spiritual eyes that are blinded. But it continues to do a work of setting free. Amen. I want to read Paul's call to the ministry. And I want to read about what he was given by Christ to understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ was intended to do as it was preached in power. Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter 26, verses 13 through 19. It is Paul's testimony to King Agrippa. It's his personal testimony of not only his transformation, but his calling to preach and proclaim the gospel. He encountered Jesus in a mighty powerful encounter, and he was sent to preach the gospel. Now, the Bible says in the New Testament, before we read this, how shall they believe upon him of whom they have never heard? And how shall he go except he be sent? And a lot of times that scripture is used, and not wrongly, but it's used in funding the gospel of Jesus Christ, or funding missionary works to evangelize in all places in the world, and trying to get people to commit to financially support the sending forth of the gospel. How shall he go except he be sent? But I believe it takes more than just someone that is trained theologically and financially supported. I really believe that the sending involves what happened to Paul to a degree, that we have to have a personal call from God to go and preach the gospel, because this is a spiritually communicated truth. This is not just intellectual persuasiveness. No matter how eloquent we are, or even articulate we are, or authoritative we are, without the mighty Holy Spirit working in conjunction with the gospel, pricking the heart, moving in the human heart, we're not going to see real conversions. It's an incredible, incredible, powerful gospel that we preach. And it is spiritual. In every aspect of it, we encounter the powers of darkness directly when we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need the mighty Holy Spirit upon us as we preach, and we need him working in the heart that hears. Praise the Lord. Amen. And he's so available to us today. We just need to lean more heavily upon the Holy Spirit instead of our own abilities, because this is spiritual stuff, spiritually communicated. The Bible said, how shall he go except he be sent? I think we get an insight in that into the calling of Isaiah, called to be a major prophet in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 6, the Bible said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. And I saw the seraphim with wings, and they covered their feet and their face, and with the other two they did fly. And he goes on to say, and I heard a voice saying, who shall go for us, and whom shall I send? And Paul, and Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. Not here am I, Lord, I'll go, based on his own ability, his confidence in his prophetic ability or his anointing or anything else, but here am I, Lord, send me. And I believe that we need this sending of the Lord. You know, Jesus looked at the world differently than we look at it. He saw people as sheep having no shepherd. And when he saw that situation and circumstance of the lostness and the hopelessness of the lost, he turned to his disciples and he said these words, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into the field. For the fields are the harvest is indeed plenteous, but the laborers are few. We need God called, God anointed men and women standing behind pulpits who are not doing this as a job or a profession, but are doing this in response to a calling, as Paul put it, a heavenly vision. Praise the Lord. This is spiritual stuff, and souls are on the line. The last thing we need in the pulpits of America or of any pulpit in the world is a professional preacher that is preaching as a job, as a vocation only, and not as a divine calling. We need to hear God's truth from God's messengers. Critically important in these last days when there's such great deception. Now, I want to read this from Acts 26 again. I want to read it all because this is Paul's testimony. He said, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, Acts 26:13, shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Last week we talked about illumination. The gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to illuminate, to open their eyes. And we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. I'm going to read it again. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. When the gospel is preached, the God of this world is encountered very, very powerfully and personally. There's a battle that goes on for the mind and the soul of men and women. And we can win this battle, but we need to understand that we have to fight spiritual forces with spiritual forces. It's important to understand that only the Holy Spirit can bring spiritual illumination. Only God, by His Spirit, can bring the revelation of Jesus to the heart. This is more than intellectual persuasion. And I believe that we need to saturate our sermons with prayer. We need to saturate the preaching of the gospel with much, much prayer. It might have been Spurgeon who made the statement that I'd rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. I probably stated it in the reverse last week. I wanted to correct that. He said a praying preacher, one that understands that you have to pray and pray powerfully. If the preaching of the gospel is going to penetrate the darkness, the spiritual darkness and blindness that Satan, the enemy, has operated already in the minds of men and women who are not saved, we need to pray and invoke God's power and invoke God to move against these powers of darkness as we preach, so the Holy Spirit can be looked to and leaned upon as God's agent to push back that darkness and illuminate these blinded eyes. I'm telling you today, this is a powerful gospel. I have never, ever in my life preached without opposition. Satan fights what he fears, and there is great opposition to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was preaching in Pion, Haiti, and teaching, actually, the morning services. There was about a little over 1,000 people that attended teaching services in the morning. There was thousands that attended evangelistic crusades at night. I was part of that with a group of ministers who went to Pion years ago to minister in Haiti. In Pion, a very primitive area of Haiti, no electric, no running water, no periodicals, no newspapers. I mean, it was primitive. You wash in the river, you drink from the river, I suppose. Very few wells around. Pion, Babylon, not too far from Babylon, Haiti. Very, very superstitious, darkened areas, sin-darkened areas, areas voodoo was the actual national religion of Haiti, I suppose. It's an incredible, incredibly darkened nation, one of the poorest nations also of the Western Hemisphere. And teaching on a Sunday morning through an interpreter, while teaching the scripture, suddenly everyone's eyes turned from me. All of the concentration was broken. Even my interpreter interpreter was momentarily distracted by, looked like about 20 or 30 people following people who were clearly carrying something that I can only interpret as something that looked like a 4 or 5 foot totem pole. And they were walking by where we were gathered, and where people were seated in makeshift seating out under just a covering of actually foliage and to keep us from the intense heat of the sun. And God was moving wonderfully, and suddenly everything was distracted as they went by, walking by. They didn't do anything. They just walked by in this parade group of people. And I asked my interpreter, what does this mean? What is happening here? And he said, these are the voodoo priests and followers of voodoo, and they are going to the voodoo cemetery. They're going to sit that totem up. They're trying, he said, to erect barriers against the light. And what an encouragement that was to me, to know that what we were doing by simply proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ was so intimidating to the devil that people were actually trying to come against what we were doing, what we were saying, and doing it in a way that recognizes a light-darkness conflict. And how encouraged I was to preach the gospel. As soon as they passed, the eyes turned back to me, and it seemed like a double portion of the anointing came on me to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all the people that were gathered there understood that there is a very real battle going on for the souls of men and women, and that there is an entity called the devil who rules the darkness of this world. But there is a Lord and Savior called Jesus who came to pierce and penetrate the darkness. Hallelujah. Folks, I'm going to tell you, in this light-darkness struggle, Christians should never be intimidated. When is the last time you ever saw darkness overcome light? I don't care if you've got a pen light, flashlight, and they put you down in a coal mine 3 miles beneath the earth, or they put you in one of these caves that when they flip the lights off, you couldn't see your finger in front of your eyeball. I'm telling you, the moment you flip that little bitty light on, to the extent of the ray of that light, that darkness is dispelled. Light always dispels the darkness. Darkness never consumes the light. We're on the winning side if you're following Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. He is the light of this sin-darkened world. And when we declare Him, light shines into the dark place. There's actually an Old Testament scripture that says, the light, those that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Hallelujah. There was a day when I sat in darkness. If you're a Christian, there was a day that you sit in the darkness of deception, the darkness of spiritual blindness. But you remember when the light shined in? They might even do a song on this classic country western segment of WMAF an artist of old that sung the song probably at the Grand Ole Opry at some point in time. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more in darkness. No more night. Hallelujah. Listen, folks, that's descriptive of what happens when we are illuminated by the gospel of Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit works with us as we proclaim this gospel to open the eyes of the blind. He illuminates. He opens our eyes. Blinded eyes. Verse 18 says to open the eyes of the blind. That's what I'm calling you to do, Paul, when I call you to proclaim this gospel to the world, to bring this spiritual illumination. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more. Hank Williams, I saw the light. No more in darkness. No more in night. In his brush with Christianity, he said it was like darkness turning to light. Now, whether you follow the light or not, you have to make a personal choice. The job of the Holy Spirit is to open your eyes and let you see clearly, so that when you make that choice, you know what you're choosing. And I'm telling you something today. If you choose light over darkness. God is ready to release the rest of His life-changing power into your life. Because after that blinded eye comes open, the gospel has the power to illuminate. Then the gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to emancipate. It literally can set you free. To open their eyes, Paul said, is why he was called and anointed and sent of the blind, and to turn them from darkness to light. Hallelujah. This is spiritual emancipation. This is God setting people free. This is true freedom. Freedom to choose life over death, light over darkness, heaven over hell, eternal life over eternal punishment, to choose Christ as Savior and to renounce the works of darkness. The gospel brings emancipation. We're free to choose. And if you make the right choice, God will continue to release more and more of His power into your life to transform your life. You know, one of the things that holds a lot of people back from coming to Jesus, even after they begin to be illuminated, is that they feel like, I can't change myself. Well, here's some good news for you today. You don't have to change yourself. Not only that, God doesn't expect you to change yourself. But if you receive Christ as your Savior, amen, He is going to come in to your heart, into your life, and from the inside out, powerfully, He's going to begin to make changes in your life. Because not only does the gospel set you free to make the right choices, amen, the Bible said, listen, let me just read it to you from Romans 13, verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. See, we're now free to choose. If we choose light over darkness, Satan's power over us is broken. And then the gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to translate. The Apostle Paul said again in verse 18, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. Illumination, emancipation, and then translation. First we see the way out of the prison house. Then we turn the key of faith and make the choice by faith to trust Christ as our Savior. And then we walk out of bondage and into the glorious kingdom of God. Let me read this to you from Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Praise the Lord. Satan cannot hold in bondage any longer. His authority over anyone who chooses light over darkness, that in effect Christ over Satan, is broken. We are free to serve the living and true God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if you make the choice today to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there is a transforming, translating work of the Holy Spirit going to take place within you. John's Gospel chapter 1 said, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Once you're authorized to become a child of God, a bona fide son of God, amen, God begins to work in your life. He literally comes in. I love the scripture in Revelation chapter 3 where God is speaking to the church of Laodicea that really had turned from His truth, and He's wanting to get that truth through to them. He says these words, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Can't you just see light flooding the darkened soul? I will come in and sup with him and him with me. Praise the Lord. I will come in. Hallelujah. The disciples asked Jesus one time, and they said, "How is it, Lord?" Because there were people everywhere. When they heard Jesus could heal the sick and raise the dead and turn water into wine and take a few fish and loaves and feed multitudes, boy, people showed up from everywhere to get these blessings and these supernatural events in their life. So they were pressing on him everywhere he went. There was a crowd pushing in to touch him and press upon him. Jesus was talking about having personal intimacy with his true followers. And they said, "Lord, how are you going to do this with all these people pressing in? How are you going to manifest yourself to us exclusively and not unto the world?" They're probably elbowing Peter out of the way and John out of the way to get to Jesus. And Jesus said, "If any man keep my commandments and my Father's, my Father and I will come to him, and we will make our abode with him." Praise God. Hallelujah. You see, when you receive Christ as your personal Savior, he comes within us. The Father and the Son come to live within us. Praise God. And God begins to work that transforming work from the inside out. Jesus spake of the Holy Spirit as one who would come and be with us and be in us and abide with us by virtue of being in us forever. Praise God. So God's not asking you to change yourself. God is asking you to choose light over darkness. God is asking you to accept Christ as your personal Savior after you're illuminated, so that he can come into your heart. And when he does, he begins to make the changes. I love the scripture in the New Testament. It says it's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we turn the God who created the universe loose in our life. And the fact that you can't change yourself, I won't argue with. God doesn't argue with that. He said in the Old Testament, "Can a leopard change his spots?" Well, we all know the answer. That's who he is. That's what he is. He can't change himself. Can God change us? Oh, friend, yes, he can. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. You know, baptism is representative of what has happened spiritually. We have been buried with Christ. Our sins have been cast away from us. That old person and that old life is dead and gone. But we are not just buried with him. We are raised with him to walk in the newness of life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a walk this is in the newness of life. A life that has come through illumination, a life that has come through emancipation, and a life that has come through spiritual translation. Satan is not our master any longer. We've been brought out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And I just feel like I'm talking to someone today that maybe you want to become a Christian, but you don't believe that you can change yourself. Well, I've got good news for you today. You don't have to change yourself. You just have to say, "Lord, I'm sick and tired of sin and its consequences. I don't want to be lost. I don't want Satan to be my master. Lord, I want to receive you as my personal Savior." You just turn from darkness to light when you receive Christ. He comes in and begins to work from the inside out. And then he continues. He's not done with me. I got saved when I was 21, going on 22. And here I am, 60 years of age. And God is working in me. God is changing me. God is still working in my life. He never stops. Praise God. Amen. That's why it never gets stale. It never gets stagnant. It never gets old. It's new. Praise God. But it all begins when a sinner says, "Lord, I need a Savior. I can't change myself, but I want to change. And I receive you as my Lord, my Savior. I'm sorry for my sin. Come in, Jesus. Change me." I guarantee you, if you will do that, you will turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan through the power of God. Hallelujah. And when that power is turned loose in you by the Holy Spirit, amen, God will work from the inside out. He will bring it to pass. If you're a Christian today, you're going through trials and tests, I want you to know you have an enemy in the devil, but you have a great ally in Jesus Christ. Put on the armor of light. Stand up against the enemy of your soul, because darkness has never won a battle over light. Light always dispels the darkness today. We take courage in Christ today to proclaim this gospel to all the world. Well, our time is gone today. Please tune in next week, and let's talk about Jesus Christ, the light of the world.